I wanna be a billionaire, I ain't getting no sleep, till I see a milli every week. I wanna be a billionaire, I ain't getting no sleep, till I see a billy every week. I wanna be a billionaire, billionaire, I wanna be a billionaire, billionaire, I wanna. Ladies and gentlemen, how you doing? Welcome to another episode of Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast. I am your host, Johnny Vegas. Now today, I got a special guest on my show. This man has played overseas basketball in Japan, in Spain, briefly played with the LA Clippers. He has a program now called D-Up Basketball, dedicating to teaching the youth basketball. Ladies and gentlemen, James Christian. How you doing, my brother? What's up, brother? It's happening with you. Ah, life is good. Can't complain, man. Yeah, good to have you, man. It's been a while, man. I know we've been trying to schedule this for a couple months, but we finally got it in. You know, we're here.
Yeah, schedules be bananas, but hey, we here now.
Exactly.
1-9.
Yes.
1-9.
Yes.
We here now.
Yes. Blessed to see another year, my brother. So how you doing, man?
Man, I'm blessed, man. Just, you know, grinding, hustling, trying to impact lives. Bless as many families and kids as possible, man. So it's definitely an honor to be here. So I appreciate the love. Definitely appreciate that love.
Man. Definitely, man. It's all good, man. Appreciate you as well. So yeah. So tell me your story, man. I know you had a love for basketball since young, man. You made it all the way to the A, which some people usually don't do. You know, so that's an achievement in itself. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. Where
did it all get started? Where you? Well, first of all, where you from?
From New York City.
Hey.
South Bronx.
Hey, all day. You already know.
To fall into that, the reason why I got into basketball is because my father, he died when I was 5 years old.
Right.
So I've been playing since I was six years old. So I got into basketball to get the death of my father off my mind.
I'm sorry.
And,
how did he pass, if you don't mind me asking?
Actually, he was heroin, right? It was heroin. It was a drug overdose, right?
Heroin.
Yeah. So, rocking with that is serious.
I see.
You feel what I'm saying? And it was crazy because I didn't know about it. And it was so ill because, I'll tell you something briefly that was crazy. It's because I was told he died of a heart attack. That's what my family, because I'm the baby.
Right.
So they just said, your father died of a heart attack, which actually was the truth because, you know, the heroin.
Yeah, it stopped the heart.
Right, it stopped the heart. So it caused a heart attack for him, which was actually true. And they told me that because I'm the baby. My youngest sister, 8 years older than me, right? I got three sisters. I'm the baby, right? So, you know, the family told me that. So,
probably. How old were you at this time?
He died when I was five.
When you were five.
Right. So, this was the ill part about it. They told me that, and that's what it was. Bullshit you not. Literally, I would say probably about maybe 8 years ago. I'm sitting with my family in the living room, and we just talking.
Right? Yeah.
And one of my sisters was like, well, you know, when Dad died from heroin, an overdose. I'm like, what?
Whoa.
Wait, what you just say?
So because from the age of 5 to 8 years ago, you was in, you didn't even know.
I thought it was just a heart attack. Like, he had a bad heart, and it was a heart attack. They forgot to tell me once I got old enough to handle it.
Right?
It was like, because at a young age, they figured I wouldn't understand the heroin, the drugs, the overdose. I wouldn't understand that. But just a heart attack. People have heart attacks and they die. Bad heart, something like that, right?
Right.
So that fucked me up. Like, that blew my mind for weeks, man. I was like, as an adult, I was like,
oh man,
crazy, right?
I'm just trying to picture how the conversation went after that. Like, after you found out, wait, what? And then what happened after that?
And they're like, oh, you didn't. And they forgot that they never told me what actually happened to him.
Wow.
Is that not ill?
That's mind blowing, man.
That was, like, man, you shit.
I couldn't imagine. I mean, I probably would have just left
for the day, for that. And
I was down just, for weeks, man. It just blew my mind because I never imagined my father doing drugs. Mm-hmm. I knew my mom and my dad may have smoked some weed or something.
Right.
But I never, you know, imagine my dad shooting any of that vibe because, I mean, I was only five. I didn't have that many years with him, but the years that I can remember was dope. You know what I'm saying? And it was cool. So it was like, so to get back to the story, that's how I got into basketball. But what lit the fire for me in a crazy way for basketball was this coach.
Okay.
It was that same year. It was my first year ever playing basketball. And I remember I scored 2 points the whole season, right?
Oh, right, right, I thought you were going to say
right.
just the quarter.
No, I scored 2 points the whole season.
And you got to start somewhere.
Hold on, it was the last game of the year.
Right.
And I finally scored. And I never forget this. The coach came up to me at the end of the game and said, you know what? Maybe you should think about playing another sport.
Damn.
My G, I was devastated. I was because you got to understand, the only reason why I was there was to do something to help me get the death of my father off my mind.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
So I couldn't understand why a grown-ass man would tell a little kid something like that.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And but what it did, it lit a fire. So I remember I went back and I practiced and I shot and I dribbled and I practiced. Just kept practicing, shooting jumpers. I would put his face up there on the basket like I was hitting his face with the ball every time I make it.
The coach face?
Right, right. I was visualizing.
There you go.
Like I'm just doing and practicing and working, right?
Yeah.
So that next year, I went back that next season and I became a starter and I made the all-star team. And it's been like history ever since. I never stopped. But I was just so disappointed that a grown man would tell a little kid something like that.
Yeah.
To tour their dreams, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just mad disappointing. But that was the spark that lit the fire.
Well, yeah, man, you needed to hear that. I mean, it's sad that it was those words that took it, you know. But, hey, look at you now, you know what I'm saying? He's probably still back there coaching, or if not, probably 9 to 5 in it, you know what I'm saying? So nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, though, you're doing way better.
Yeah, so it was a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
It was a blessing with it. And then as I progressed, what really added gasoline to the fire, because, you know, once my father died, I had to become the man at the house at 6 years old. You know what I mean? I'm the only boy and the youngest. So I had to grow up mad fast.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I understood at a very, very young age that my mother was not going to be financially able to send me to college. So once I understood that, all I did is maximize my blessing.
Right.
That's all I did. I realized God blessed me with this gift to play basketball, so I chose to maximize it and work and work and work because I didn't want my mother to have to get 2 and 3 jobs just to get enough money to try to send me off to college. So if I can help avoid all of that by maximizing my blessing and getting a scholarship, then why not? Why take that pressure off your mother? You know what I mean? So that was the other gasoline that kept the fire going because I didn't want her to have to worry about that whatsoever at all.
So you ended up getting a scholarship.
Right.
Okay, that's what's up, man. So it's from high school, and then you got the scholarship from high school to go to college.
Right.
That's cool. What high school?
So Taft High School.
Taft?
Yeah.
Ooh! It was wild in Taft, man. I heard some stories. I seen Taft on the news.
Yeah, it was real.
Yeah, I already know, but and what college?
It was the University of Iowa. Hawkeyes, Big Ten, baby, Big Ten.
Okay. So tell me that journey from when you went to college and started playing ball, got your own scholarship, congratulations on that, to where you actually got the opportunity to get to the overseas market and start balling professionally.
Just the hard work and I didn't want to stop. And I wasn't blessed enough to get drafted. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we had to go that route, the overseas route.
So how does that work? You know, like when you try to get drafted, things don't work out, then you take the overseas option. Like, how does it work?
Well, you get an agent.
Okay.
An agent. That agent is representation. And if no NBA teams is calling at that time to bring you in to work out, to Connie Vines or anything like that or whatever, then you look at the overseas market.
Okay.
Which pays nice there too.
Mm-hmm.
But you're just not playing in the States. That's the part. It can pay nice, but you're not paying in the States and you're away from your fam. And it could be tough.
Is it the same as, is it treated the same as how we treat the NBA? Like, as a professional sport, is glorified, is you know, out there for...
Yeah. It's like, well, the Lakers or the Clippers or what the NBA would be, it's the same thing there. Yeah, but you just have an agent, and then they send film out, they see film on you, and then they, the coaches, you know, hey, we want this kid, and we put together a deal, and, you know, you go.
Yeah.
And you do your thing, and the thing about that, back then, you're only allowed to have two Americans on your team, right? Because they felt like we was the elite. Right?
Okay.
So we're the elite coming over there.
Yeah.
From the NBA and the States. You know, everybody was a little bit behind in basketball overseas. So when we're coming over, we're advanced.
Yeah.
So they couldn't have, you couldn't have a team with five Americans. And like, it would be unmatched.
Yeah, exactly.
So each team would be able to have
an even chance.
Two American cap. That's it. Mm. But they pay you nice, but they work you to death.
Mm.
They like, you don't come out the game. They like, you a robot.
Yeah. like,
you don't know what they could be saying and everything, but you just know they be like, we going to get you the ball. Like, it's like, and move.
Just go, put it in the basket.
It's really kind of like that. Like, they go, like, just get you the ball and stuff. So, so that's how that process works from that standpoint as well. So...
It's similar to the acting business. You know, you get an agent, you send in demo reel, they send it off to the directors, and if the directors like you, they call you in for the audition, and if they like you, they book you, they pay you. So it's similar. That's cool that it's that simple to do. Well, I mean, I'm sure getting an agent is not simple. They got to believe in you, of course.
You people got to want to represent you, and you want a good agent that's not known for shady deals. And
have you ever encountered that, like an agent with shady deals that you had to let go of?
I actually encountered an agent that, you know, when you overseas, you know, you still have to pay taxes. And I would send the money back for it to be paid, but he wasn't paying it. And the IRS came after me. And I didn't even know what they was talking about.
Because,
you know, the IRS don't come until, like, 3 years later.
Right.
I don't know if everybody realize that. If you miss your taxes or do something shady, you're going to get away with it in year one. You're going to get away with it in year two. You're going to get away with it in year three. Four, they caught it, and they own you. They own you.
Yeah.
So they talking about stuff. They're like, what are you talking about? Come to find out, he wasn't sending that money off, wasn't paying my taxes.
So this is over 3 years, he wasn't.
Right.
So that means he was pocketing money for 3 years from you.
Yep.
Ooh.
So I had to pay, and they like, you can sue him, but couldn't find him. Mm-hmm. He gone.
Wow.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah, for real.
It was a good thing. So couldn't sue him. The IRS, like, that don't have nothing to do with us. We want our bread.
Yeah.
We can't go after him.
Right.
His name not on it. If his name was on it, we'll go after him. Your name is on it.
Mm.
It was your responsibility to follow up to make sure he was doing what he was supposed to do on your behalf.
Right.
So we can't give you a break because you paid him the money. We see the money was sent, but the money wasn't sent to us. So as far as we're concerned, there's no money.
Yeah. So you owe us, pretty much.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't no cut, no deals. It wasn't none of that. So, I mean, life is real. You live, you learn.
Well, you know, luckily you don't have to go through that now, knowing the business, you know what I'm saying? I mean, everybody, I'm sure, has those trials and tribulations, you know, learning as they come up,
right. You
know. But, hey, you live and you learn.
Yes.
So, okay, so from there, how did the LA Clippers opportunity happen?
Well, the Clippers situation, because I was in Osaka, Japan for 3 years.
Okay.
Right? And then I was in Barcelona, Spain for 4 to 5 years, right? Okay. So working, trying to get that opportunity. Finally got that chance. Finally got that invite and into training camp. Finally got that opportunity.
How did you get that the same way?
The Clippers were contact and everything, and they have summer leagues and NBA pro-ams, and they have different things. But got invited and got in a training camp, and that's the tough part. Then the preseason, as that goes on, because all the cuts have to be done before regular season. So people that you see in preseason ain't necessarily the guys that's on the team, because they have a cutoff time to turn in their final roster. So all training camp and preseason is evaluation, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
The vets is all people that's already on the contract, but really it's just an evaluation. That's why a lot of, like, rookies, like, we would have to report to training camp maybe 4 or 5 days before the vets.
Got it.
You know what I'm saying? They didn't have to be that day, because they trying to teach us to play. They already know the plays. Like, they still get to chill a little bit, then come into camp. There's really no worries.
Right. Okay.
Right. So, yeah, so with their preseason and in practice, I was under the basket. One of the guys was shooting a shot, and I was under the basket waiting for the rebound. And two of the bigs was positioning themselves for the rebound. And, you know, I'm looking up, and one of the bigs pushed one of the other bigs. And while I'm looking up, the other big fell on my knee. And it tore my meniscus and ACL. And actually, the doctor said that I was lucky because I was looking up. So my body was relaxed.
Right.
Because if I would have saw it coming, I would have tensed up, and he would have fell on it, and it would have snapped my leg. So it was a good thing. So when because I was relaxed, it just pushed it all the way like that vibe and tore the ACL ligaments like that. But
Was it really painful? Like, did you drop? I was like,
oh yeah, it was tough, because see, with the meniscus, you can bounce back anywhere like 8 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks. You can come back from meniscus in probably 6 to 8 weeks. The ACL,
once it's done, that's
9 months, 10 months to a year. Like, recovery, hands down. Like, no way around it. You have to really learn how to walk all over again.
Damn.
And it's tough. And now you're trying to get an opportunity to get on the squad, and now you damage goods. Business is business.
Yeah, become a liability.
Somebody good, or they're going to take a chance on damaged goods, and because you're damaged goods now. It's like, so, and the process of it, so... So it was a very dark time in my life when that transpired, because I worked so hard to get there.
Right.
You know, the perseverance. I worked so hard to finally get that shot. And to finally get it and then have that happen, it was a tough pill to swallow. It's even tough talking about it now.
Well, when that happened, you know, like, I'm sure at that moment you didn't feel like, well, maybe this isn't God's plan for me. But at what point did you realize that maybe this is what I need to be doing, what you're doing now?
Right. Well, that's interesting, because what I used to do in college, helping kids and giving back to the kids and the community, started for me in college. And this was the mindset. A lot of people was playing in summer leagues in college and everything, and this and that. And I always thought different, always thought out of the box. So what I did is I reached out to the North Carolinas. Mm-hmm. I reached out to Texas at the time, Nebraska, Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, like the top schools mm-hmm. in the country. Mm-hmm. Because in the summer, they have overnight camps, right?
Okay.
For kids.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be a counselor. Mm. So I reached out to them, can I be a counselor for you guys overnight camp with the kids? But this is what I knew. I knew legally the NCAA approves you to get paid for working summer camps for universities. That's okay. not illegal.
Okay.
So North Carolina could pay me, Duke, anybody could pay me for going to help the kids.
Mm.
So they are paid nice.
Yeah.
Especially during the overnight, because that's like 5 days.
Right.
It's like a week-long camp.
Right.
So that's a lot of money.
Mm.
So I'm a struggling college kid.
Right.
So I would go get the money. Mm-hmm. Like, I go work the camp, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what happens while I pick those schools is because a lot of the NBA wasn't filled with a lot of those former players, as far as like people that went to North Carolina was all in it, NBA and Duke and all this other stuff. So what would happen is some of the NBA guys would come back and be counselors too,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And because it's Dean Smith. If he say, I want you to come work my camp and do the camp, the overnight camp, you can come and be there.
Right.
So what would happen is, one of the main reasons why I was there outside of the kids, but no, I keep it real. The main reason was the money.
Mm-hmm.
And the second main reason I was there was I knew once we put the kids to bed at 9 o'clock, all the counselors would get together and play.
Oh, okay.
So we'd be in there balling.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you're playing as a college kid, you playing against NBA guys.
Mm.
You're becoming friends with NBA guys. Dang, boy, what school you man, I'm gonna tell my agent to watch out for you, man. He nice. Like so then when you out there performing, playing against NBA guys, and you're getting your shit off, and you scoring, that gives you confidence.
Right.
So when you go back to playing against college kids, it's like, it ain't nothing. Yeah, exactly. I was scoring on NBA guys.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Whoop, whoop, I was Dean, I was doing this. Mm-hmm. So it was growing my game.
Okay.
Because I was playing, so that was the thing. I was, instead of playing the summer league, I was getting money, and then I was playing against the best competition, quote unquote, in the world. That's in the NBA. When the kids go to sleep for 5 days.
Right. Oh, okay.
Straight.
Yeah.
And then I go to the next. When Duke alumni come back, we all in there bowling.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That was the thing. But also helping the kids, that grew on me. Because like I said, I was there for the money. I was there for the experience of playing against all the NBA guys.
Mm.
But during that course, helping these kids and realizing I didn't get this type of stuff, it touched my spirit.
Right.
It touched my spirit. And it stuck with me.
Mm.
It stuck with me, and it became a passion hearing them kids' story, seeing some of these kids come from where I came from and the parents and what the parents had to do to afford to get them to the camp and you know, some with scholarships, just so many different avenues and learning about kids and how impactful and meaningful this is, just to take a picture with me or just to get an autograph or something like that was just made their day, their life. They always remember this.
Yeah.
And it stuck with me. And I've been doing this for over 10 years.
Mm. Congrats, man. That's dope.
Yeah, I've worked with over 10,000 kids so far.
Wow.
Excuse me. And I'm like super excited because honestly, I feel like God blessed me, so it's only right to bless others.
That's a fact.
So I want to give the kids the different opportunities that I didn't have growing up in New York.
And that's what the program you have now. Dia basketball. So how did that get started? You know, I mean, I know you everything that motivated you to start it, but when did you actually say, okay, I'm going to do this full time? I'm going to make this a business.
Well, it was interesting. I was partnering when I first started getting into it. I was partnering with a friend of mine that played in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And we was partners and I was the director.
Okay.
And we're friends. We've done it for a while. So a lot of the concepts and a lot of the ideas that we would have, I would come up with them.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And then after a while, I kind of noticed he was eating a little bit nicer than I was over the concepts.
Mm.
So,
what do you mean? Like getting more money from
him? Yeah, it was like, yeah, it was just, I mean, because his name was a little bit bigger than mine. Mm. Because he was with the Houston Rockets and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
So,
it was
I mean, we still cool. It was a guy named Joaquin Hawkins.
Okay.
And, yeah, great guy, good friend of mine. But he would tell me though too.
Mm.
He would also tell me, Jay, you should do your thing too.
Mm.
Like you got a lot of great concepts and everything too. You should do your thing and everything. So he was always great friend. We've been through a lot.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
To this day.
Mm.
And then. But it was crazy how it happened. I kind of was like, you know what? You know, I got my fam. I got my family too, right? So let me do my own thing. True story.
Okay.
I have, throughout my life, God had blessed me with a lot of ideas, a lot of concepts.
Right.
And I have given them away to other people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because my mindset was just like, look, teach one, reach one. Somebody told me it's only right to bless others and help out. And if me sharing this helps benefit your life and put you in a great position, then I don't mind too. If you choose to break me off for doing it, then cool. If not, at least I know I impacted somebody's life in a positive manner.
Mm-hmm.
I was cool with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I had to learn some things are meant for you, right?
Right.
That is meant for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember, I remember I said a prayer to God, and I told him, if you give me one more concept, because I kept giving them away to other people and it benefited their lives instead of me and my family's lives.
Mm.
So I said, if you give me one more concept, I promise you, God, I will use it for me and my family.
Mm.
That was the prayer. Jay, I literally went to sleep.
Mm.
And I woke up the next day, and the whole concept of D-up basketball was in my head. I'm not saying a piece of it, and then we build and we add on as we go. The whole blueprint.
Wow.
The whole thing, and all I had to do was execute it.
Wow.
Go from here to here to here. We're going to do boom, boom, blah, 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 blah. But when I say everything, woke up everything.
God is good.
Crazy testimony ever. Everything was there.
Mm.
Not like I'm giving you this and then you figure out the rest. No.
Yeah.
You're going to do this first, then you're going to go to this, then you're going to go to this, then you're going to do this. My job is to execute it and be obedient.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've been doing.
That's awesome, man. So once you had the blueprint in your head, you woke up, what was the first step you had to do? You know, because I know you had to, since it's a nonprofit, you had to apply for grants, you know, like the business side of it. What did you have to do?
It's obviously the process of it, and I connect with the right people that knew how to pull off exactly what I needed to get done for Dia Basketball and Teach One, Reach One Foundation. Come out of the nonprofit is Teach One, Reach One Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been around since 2009.
Okay.
So reach out to the right people
to
pull it off. And I felt extremely confident that everything was going to fall into place because I had the right people in place to pull it off.
Yeah.
So I'm the type of person that's, and this, people like, but I'm the type of person that I like a lot of pots cooking at once.
Same. Yeah, me
like,
too.
You know, like my thing is this, while we're waiting on this to go, what do we know for a fact that we're going to need? right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't care if it's out of order, mm-hmm. right? Most people are like, well, why are we doing that when this ain't even done?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're going to need it.
Exactly.
So if we can get that done and put it on the shelf mm-hmm. and be able to put it down when it's time, then that's less work that we got to do. We don't have to sit up here and wait for this to finish cooking in order for us to start working on the other and cooking the other food.
Yeah.
We can get this out the way.
You can save much more time.
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. like, that's the kind. People don't want to do that.
Right.
People want to, but let's just focus on this and get this done first, and then we can go. No, but we know for a fact
mm-hmm.
that we're going to need flyers. We're going to need a logo.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to need this and that. While we're waiting for this to be, we can create the logo. That's done. That's out the way. We can do all this, the website. We can put, like, it's so much. We can reach out to the t-shirt guy. We can put everything in order and sit it on the shelf. So when it's time, we already got it. That's done.
Exactly. I agree. You know, some people just, they don't have that sense of urgency, brother. Or they just don't think like that. You know, they're used to doing one thing at a time.
Right.
Like you said, I like to have all pots cooking, have my hand in different jars. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Like, I'm all for that. But, you know, it's you just got to accept that some people haven't experienced anything to make them like that, the way that we are. You know what I'm saying? So you can't get mad.
And you get, no, you don't get mad.
Yeah.
Like, I was just talking to one of my mans and them, because he was talking about the people he was talking to didn't get him, get what he was saying,
right?
He related to me, I got it.
Mm.
But he was upset that that they didn't get it. So I told him, you know, about the giraffe,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you know about the giraffe, but...
Mm-hmm.
I had to break it down to him for him to understand. I'm like, look, you're a giraffe. They're turtles, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't get mad at a turtle for not seeing your vision. A turtle can only see as far as it can see.
Right.
Its neck can only go this and that or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It can only see what it can see.
Right.
But your neck is 9 feet long. Your vision is totally different than that turtle's vision.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
So you can't get mad at the turtle because it can't see your vision.
Right.
Its vision is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't get mad and do that.
Mm-hmm.
So the point of it all is, stop talking to fucking turtles and talk to other giraffes.
Yeah, that's a fact. Unless you're going to bring turtles to your eye level. But giraffe can't physically do that.
But you know what I'm saying? Don't get mad.
Yeah,
they can only see what they can see. You can't get mad at them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Stop talking to them about that they...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
talk to other giraffes. People that, we get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And people make that mistake a lot. And then get upset and disappointed.
Right.
Nah, they can... Their vision is their vision.
Exactly, man. What can you do? So so through this program, the Teach One, Reach One, and via basketball, you say you helped over 10,000 children?
Yeah, I've worked with over 10,000 kids so far.
Wow.
It's been incredible.
Mm.
Just seeing a different impact and blessings and families that's supported and I was able to do great things with, and yeah. Incredible.
So what's your plan for the children? Like, what is this program? Like, if I have my child, I want to put him in DL basketball, like, is it just teaching them the fundamentals of basketball since this is a dream of theirs?
Right.
You know, but are you offering some type of, you know, placement program where they can get opportunities to speak to agents or possibly, you know, get picked up by colleges, or it's not even that type of age range?
I'm going to tell you what we're doing, mm-hmm. and I'll tell you about DL Basketball. It's a basketball company that we teach 3 to 6 year old boys and girls and 7 to 14 year olds the game of basketball,
mm-hmm.
fundamentally.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because right now, kids is kind of running amok and they're forgetting about the fundamentals.
Yeah.
And we teach them the game, the right way. Mm-hmm. How to play it the right way. We start with the basics, the dribbling, the passing, the shooting, the jump shot. We just teach them the right way on how to play the game. This is not a league. Mm-hmm. So it's a class.
Okay.
Right? So it's a class. And they come and they participate in the drills, and they're not competing against each other. This is just an opportunity for them to better themselves. Mm-hmm. We're presenting that venue for them to better themselves as ball players. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes to the point, because you always have to work on your game. Mm-hmm. Always have to work on your game.
Right.
Always have to work on your game. Mm-hmm. You never stop wanting to get better.
Right.
Even if you're playing on other teams, you still want to work on your game, mm-hmm. and get as much reps and drills in as possible to get better.
Right.
And that's the venue that we try to present for kids, like an academy for them to come, mm-hmm. and have an opportunity to get better and learn from people that achieve the highest level of success in basketball.
Right.
So we get other former NBA guys, and we donate our time, and we do this to give back to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's super cool. We discount single parents. Mm-hmm. We only charge $10.
Okay.
And kids get to come out, because the reason why I picked that number, I'll tell you about that number,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of people look at me crazy when I say $10, because they feel like because of my resume that I should be charging a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
But the mindset behind that is this. I know I could, but this is the mindset. I just didn't want kids to miss out on the opportunity to better themselves due to mm-hmm. financial reasons.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If we think back when we were shorties, when we was kids, we wanted to do something, like, I don't have all that money. So it's a lot easier coming up with $10 than $60.
That's a fact.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Parents are a lot willing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that's definitely one of the main things,
mm-hmm.
to be able to have that opportunity. And it would be presented.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the main thing that we wanted to do with the kids in the community.
Mm. Well, that's dope, man. I mean, shit. I mean, that's amazing, man. The thing that you're doing with the kids, man. I just So where do you see the company going, like, in the next 5 years? You know, are you gonna start, yeah. you know, dealing with older kids past 14? You know, to get those type of you know, college or MBA opportunities. You know, and maybe do some type of internship program where they can, like, have agents come out and mm-hmm. talk the business of basketball as opposed to just a sport?
Yeah, so we're going with this, with Dia Basketball, we're going to be doing academies, we're going to be doing basketball camps,
mm-hmm.
we're going to have teams, mm-hmm. we're going to have tournaments,
mm-hmm.
We're definitely expanding everything, and we're implementing it in different states and different cities. So mm-hmm. we have a Dia Basketball Dallas, Dia Basketball Houston, Dia mm-hmm. Basketball Chicago, Dia Basketball New York. Like, it's just going to expand Las Vegas, Arizona, mm-hmm. Sacramento. We already have had meetings with these cities,
mm-hmm.
and we're setting up to come there and Phoenix. And so we're super excited about just expanding everything and being able to bless as many kids possible in different cities.
Mm-hmm.
So That's the goal. It's a brand, and we're gonna push it and nationally.
Okay.
And bless that. So as far as the high schoolers, and we big on education, the tutoring mm-hmm. program. I got my degree in criminal law, so mm-hmm. I'm big on education.
Mm-hmm.
The ACT and the ACT and the SAT,
mm-hmm.
we're doing tutoring for that as well, to get the kids the opportunities, and also giving them different insight, kids as far as college.
Okay.
Because a lot of kids, what I've noticed with college that's athletes,
mm-hmm.
they kind of settle.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like in this life, you have a right not to settle.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel like sometimes their back is up against the wall and they don't have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I let them know they do have a choice. You just got to be true to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I give you a brief example.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a kid that feels and believes in his heart, you mm-hmm. just ask the kid, do you feel like you're a Division I athlete? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And if his answer is yes, but he has no Division I offers.
Mm.
he only have Division II and Division IIIs.
Mm-hmm.
What would a kid do? Kind of end up taking that Division II and Division III.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's cool.
Right.
Because they're not presenting opportunities to them. Now, for some reason, the opportunity for you to still achieve your dream and be a Division I player is this.
Mm-hmm.
Junior college.
Mm-hmm.
Community college. People look at, I don't know why they look down on that as like high school continuation, but it's a brilliant move.
Mm-hmm.
This is the thing what people don't understand about junior colleges and community colleges. If you are a senior in high school and you have passed the SAT or ACT,
mm-hmm.
and you have over a 2.0,
mm-hmm.
you can go to a junior college
mm-hmm.
and play for 1 year, and then you can leave and get recruited out and play for a school for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a senior and you pass the ACT or SAT but don't have a 2.0,
mm-hmm.
or if you do have over a 2.0 but didn't pass the ACT or the, then your junior college, you go there, you're mandated to stay for 2 years.
Mm.
You have to get your AA degree, mm. right? This is why this is important. Some coaches don't tell the kids that. So, because coaches want to win.
Right.
And they don't want to, if you're an elite athlete,
mm-hmm.
and I know that you're really eligible to be here for 1 year,
mm-hmm.
but you don't know that because the messaging with junior college, you have to stay for two mm-hmm. and get your AA degree, then move on to a university. Mm-hmm. That's the overall messaging.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a good athlete, and I got a chance to win two state titles with instead you here of instead of one. I'm not going to tell you or the other coaches that may be looking at you that think they got to wait 2 years to get you,
mm-hmm.
that they can get you now.
Yeah, that's very selfish, man.
And there's some coaches that'll do that. So I try to educate the parents
mm-hmm.
and the kid to let him know, like, you don't have to go to a Division II. If your dream is Division I, and some kids feel like it was politics in high school, oh, my coach didn't do this for me, my coach didn't do that for me, I'll tell you what, you deserve a clean slate. Let's contact some junior colleges, because once you go to a junior college, the mm-hmm. recruiting process opens up all over again.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you didn't get recruited by North Carolina in high school,
mm-hmm.
if you go to a junior college, you're now eligible to still be recruited by North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go from high school to a Division II or III or NAIA mm-hmm. school, North Carolina can no longer recruit you. You're totally off the market.
Oh, wow.
But if you go to a junior college,
mm-hmm.
you can have the opportunity and that dream of playing Division I like you want to. It's like a second chance, and you ain't got to worry about politics. Well, my coach didn't like me here. Well, you know what? This is a brand new coach. You ain't got to worry about that. You just got to prove yourself and go to work.
Right. Well, that's good that you're giving out that information, right, man, because like you said, there's a lot of people, you know, different coaches that just want to stay winning, like literally just winning the game and the championships to make them look good when this child could have had a bigger opportunity than that, you know. But
nobody told him.
Right, but nobody told
him. And he ended up settling and selling himself short.
Mm-hmm.
And everything. Nothing's wrong with Division II, III, or NAIA. Let me be clear about that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you believe in yourself
mm-hmm.
wholeheartedly that you're a Division I player, then you got every right to go after the colleges in Division I to get that opportunity.
Right.
If you're like, nah, I'm more of a D2 or D3, okay, then. Let's do the D2 thing then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the coaches is looking at you there. Damn, that's totally fine. But don't never sell yourself short. Ever.
No, that's a fact. Don't ever sell yourself short. Ever.
No doubt.
For real, man. So, yeah, man. Well, what can the people keep up with you and watch all your progress with the DL basketball and your nonprofit organization, right, you know?
Definitely. My social media with DL basketball is Facebook, DUP Basketball, DUP Basketball, one word. And on Instagram and Twitter is DUP_Basketball. And you can reach us there. Please support us and follow us in blessing these babies and giving them the opportunity to experience the game. We do a lot for the kids. We have Players of the Week. We give away free prizes. We give away NBA tickets and we bust 100 families. Mm. That I'll tell you this, we bust 100 families, mm. and that never been to an NBA game before.
Okay.
And I took them to see the Clippers, mm-hmm. and they wore their shirts. I got them all T-shirts, mm-hmm. got them, took them down to watch the warm-ups and get pictures and everything, meet the guys.
Yeah.
And I never forget this. This was impactful to me. But I remember there was 100 families, mm-hmm. that we took. And I was walking down the corridor, and there was about maybe like 10 or 15 parents in a circle, mm-hmm. Huddled up talking, right? Mm-hmm. And like one of them looked up and was like, "There you go, right there." And he was pointing at me. He was like, "Yo, Jay, come here, come here." Mm-hmm. So I walked over there, right? And I'm like, "Is everything okay? Is everything fine? Y'all having a good time?" Mm-hmm. They're like, "Oh, no, this is great. We're having a great time. But we were just talking about you, and we wanted to ask you a question." Mm-hmm. And I'm looking like, okay. Like,
here I am. What's up?
What's going on?
Yeah.
They said, "Well, we were just talking and we wanted to know, why do you do so much for us? Like, why do you do what you do for us? Mm. Like, this is amazing. Why do you do so much for us?" And you know what I remember telling them? I remember telling them, "Because one day, my life is going to flash before my eyes, and I just want to make sure it's worth watching." Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's why I do what I do. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because it's going to happen. It's going to happen for you.
Right, for everybody.
And you don't want to, "Oh, Lord, I don't want to see that." Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? You want to do what you do and impact people's lives. So when your life do flash before your eyes, it's 100% worth watching.
Hey, man, that's words to live by, my brother.
Appreciate the
James
love,
James Christian, man. Appreciate Thank you for coming love. On the show. Make sure you follow him, man. DL Basketball. Where are you holding all the training and everything for the kids?
Yeah, we're holding it out in the city of Long Beach right now, and we're stretching out to other different cities. But right now, we're in Long Beach. So definitely follow us on Instagram. If you have any questions, you can email us at dubasketball11@gmail.com as well, and we answer any of your questions, send you whatever information that you need. And I really appreciate the love.